Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of AV Insider. As always, I'm your host, Johnny Mota. This is the show that, of course, you can find on the Rave Radio Network under the Rave Hubs Radio tab, along with other many great shows that I have been guest on. But it's not really about me, it's about the network, and it's about you, the listener, who's here to listen to. Today we have Wes Hatchett. Hopefully I said your first and last name correctly. I'm known to do that really badly. And you are, to my knowledge, the CEO and co-founder of Control Envy, correct?
That's correct, and you had the name spot on.
So. Oh, good. I didn't just make that up. I was like, I believe it's Wes Hatchett, but I'll probably say something wrong. But that's great. Hey, Wes, how's it going, man?
It's going very well, and I really appreciate the invite. I've listened to the program for quite a while, so it's a pleasure to be on with you tonight.
Cool. Thank you, man. I'm actually really excited to learn a little bit more about the company. So can you tell me a little bit, actually, no, before we talk about Control Envy, let's talk about you, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe this is your first job. Maybe this is your first company. Maybe it's both. Maybe you've done this a million times. I don't know. What's your background in the industry and how did you get to Control Envy?
Yeah, not my first job, but not too many hops in between at some level. I was introduced to the world of high-end home theater through a friend in high school who actually is the co-founder of Control Envy. So we've known each other for a long time. And in high school, I was always interested in AV. At a point in time, I was, thinking about going to school for audio engineering and getting into production and stuff like that. And, even a little bit of home recording and high school bands and all of that stuff. And then realized, the music business is probably not the best place to put all of my chips, down the college road and stuff. So I had actually gotten to a point where I wasn't certain what I wanted to do. And I, asked, my parents, because I graduated high school in 2000. So I was a namesake millennial or whatever at the time, which I guess now they've pushed us back into this micro generation. And, as that continues to evolve. But I graduated and decided I wanted to take a year off of, before college. So I actually worked at Hi-Fi Buys, which was a tweeter company.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
Yep. So that was a lot of fun. I was 18 and there were a couple of sides to that. One, it was being put in a commission sales environment with a lot of people who had been there a long time and, Tweeter and Hi-Fi. I mean, Hi-Fi Buys had been around since I was a kid and, my dad had bought several stereos through there and everything. So that was really interesting, but I was also 18 in that I didn't need that commission check so badly to, feed a family and everything else. I was feeling it out. So I learned a lot, spent a lot of time in the demo rooms and that. And did the college thing and some years later, so at 23, Chris and I had both started looking at, his father was actually in, the integration business. And at the time was getting into Crestron and in the early 2000s, some large Crestron projects. And Chris and I had a computer background. We actually had a web design business together in high school. So that's really where I decided to take that, that love of AV and some experience from sales in the more professional direction and enter the world of control system programming. And it was really one of those right place, right time in that there were some huge projects happening. None of that equipment really had a network, interface at the time. It was, very old school from that perspective, but it was also where, especially on the residential side, these control systems just started to explode in scale and in what people were designing. So given the processor limitations and everything else at the time, getting started in Crestron, then you really had to be concerned with data management and, how to maximize these really large systems that, fundamentally the hardware at the time hadn't truly anticipated. So there was a lot of low level software work. And so that led to then in 2005, Chris and I actually started Atalyte, which is a CSP and software consulting company that's, been in the working at high level projects in the industry for, going on, I guess, 14 years now. And some of that core team has come with us to Control Envy, but fundamentally that's, the Atalyte side is where I've spent, essentially my career in AV. and in this market is there, as a software consulting firm, to bring us then up to speed with Control Envy. We've been in a private beta project for about 2.5 years with a couple of integrators and consultants working on some specific projects with some large customers and really feeling out what were the needs for the type of platform that, you know, we were building with Control Envy. And so it was just at Infocom back in the summer, back about 13 weeks ago, that we actually had our public launch. And that's, you know, where now some of the media stuff and, you know, Cedia last week and you know, being on the podcast tonight. And, you know, so all of that is happened in a pretty quick time frame. Where we really come from, is a long background there in integration. And that's kind of my personal background and what led us to ultimately launching this company.
Okay, so that brings us up to date, basically your history, the company's history, the partners, and the people behind Control Envy. So that being said, if you could try and give me like an elevator pitch style approach to who and what Control Envy is, just and try and keep it as basic as possible. I mean, because I'd like to go into depth afterwards, but just more of like a general for anyone in the industry, out of the industry, design, whatever that may be.
Right. Well, Control Envy is a pure software platform that is connecting things together in the Internet of Things. And we hear about the Internet of Things a lot. And I think the question is, you know, for most people, we've heard of it. But the real question is, what is it doing for me? You know, what is what is the Internet of Things actually delivering to me in value? You know, whether I'm someone trying to turn on and my lights when I'm away from home, or have them integrated with my garage door for basic security, or whether I'm, you know, a large enterprise trying to take in all kinds of analytics and understand what a smart building is, you know, and how to control all of these subsystems. And so in the middle of that is software. And what Control Envy is a software platform that not only connects all these things, but really focuses on a feature set that makes IoT tangible and delivers value. And a big part of the way we do that is by focusing on the user interface, focusing on easy reports that can take different types of data from different systems, being completely hardware agnostic, and put them together and show the patterns and provide control in an easy way.
So would you describe Control Envy as not necessarily a control system, but more as a bridge between systems?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. And I think that gets to the nature of what is the difference between a platform and simply a control system.
Sure. Okay.
And it's really in the open source model and in the open platform nature of the way Control Envy is built, which is totally standards-based. So it's all built in web technologies like JavaScript and HTML5. So in that way, it's just utilizing the modern technology and the community of the open source world that we have available today. And it's doing it across platforms, taking, say, the professional control systems as we would know them and running actually on that hardware. As well as running in this new world of Raspberry Pis and virtual machines. And so it's the nature of the way that the software is able to be embedded into these different systems and both enhance and add value to what they're doing and make them work together.
Okay.
That's really where I would say it's a platform.
Okay. A platform, in my opinion, maybe, specifically.
Sure.
A platform that works with all these systems, right? Control systems, subsystems, but maybe a better solution as the main interface and UI for a complete package that can give data and analytics and things like that, correct?
Yep, absolutely. And one of the reasons for that is that standards-based approach. So versus having, you know, hiring a designer who can, say, work in vector graphics or work in web design. But anything that's developed at that level would only be a resource or maybe a proof of concept to the way that it has to be put back into a control system that has a proprietary, you know, programming software. And if that's not making a lot of sense, for example, in the Crestron world, you know, we've always designed these nice interfaces and say, you know, even floor plan interfaces, but you have to, sorry, I'm getting a little noise there. I'm not sure if that's on my end or.
Oh, I'm sorry. Plane. Live next to an airport. Sorry.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
No, I just wanted to make sure it wasn't my microphone. But, you know, so we've spent a lot of time and we have to spend a lot of time taking the graphics that are designed and then porting them back into these particular control system, touch panels, et cetera. So what we're now able to do with Control Envy, to your point, is actually use that design directly and hook it into the control system software model. So, okay. You know, be that, yeah, floor plans with lots of subsystems or an analytic dashboard all the way through the control app. We've really now leveraged the design ability of designers and separated that, you know, from the world of the actual control system logic in a pretty cool way.
That's cool. Now looking at the site, controlenvy.com, there's a really sweet floor plan interface looking type of model. Almost looks like a digital blueprint, if you will. Mm-hmm. And that was, I think, the first thing that caught my eye. And I had seen a similar concept, not necessarily on the control aspect, but like the way Crestron was doing diagrams. And I always thought that was kind of a neat look. I'm like, I wish our control systems could do like that. And you could go through layers of buildings and areas and go in and kind of dig in deep around and yep. You know, get to the nuts and bolts of what you're trying to do on a massive scale or on a room by room basis.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that part of it is a lot of fun and somewhat, I think from the part of our team that does come from that residential heritage and just seeing even back in the days of that 320 by 240 resolution panel, you know, you did it the best that you possibly could. And in the end, when you delivered a good experience and the customer loved it, you know, that's what it was all about. So, you know, we're having a lot of fun with this now, being able to deliver the experiences effectively with no compromise, you know, and because anything that's in the JavaScript rendering world or, you know, this vector-based graphics, I mean, if we can design it and we can put it through the right paces, you know, in the platform that we have, like at Cedia, we showed sort of to the point that you were talking about, you were able to drill into and zoom out of individual buildings on a residential estate property, you know, that we built on almost in this Lego house kind of style. And we'll have the demo for that up on the website soon. So, you know, people can start to play with that, but showing the idea even of what you could do with the interactive floor plans. And again, so much of this is opened up by just leveraging that technology stack and being able, you know, to take the work that designers and UX people from a broader software world are able to do and apply it to these AV systems. Because like we say, you know, in our company, Hollywood has probably done the most to teach people what the smart building of the future was supposed to be. Or, you know, we all see Tom Cruise in Minority Report, you know, the scene where he's, you know, throwing things around the screen that sort of appears in thin air. And there are really companies today that are getting closer to that. You know, you start looking at where the LED signage technology and the sensors, and it's not a far disconnect at all to say this stuff starts coming together like that. Where in higher ed spaces, you're going to have a professor and the interface to this big screen wall is going to feel like he's Tom Cruise in Minority Report. And why not? You know,
exactly. So
that's the kind of thing that we're just always looking at the UI. And it's also a side that we feel like is really great in Control Envy for partnerships, because, you know, when you meet a programmer and even a good, you know, JavaScript programmer, but you start getting into this world of building controls and protocols and AV knowledge, and there's a lot to consider. But someone who can do great work in vector design that can really be plugged right into the platform, and that's the side that the users touch. You know, that's the side that they see and where the data is represented. So, yeah, we're really focused on a great experience there.
Now, take me through a typical application for Control Envy. Like you said, you just officially publicly launched a month ago, 2 months ago.
Yes, I think InfoCom was mid-June. I think 13, 14 weeks, something like that. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And then who's your typical client, I guess, right? Are you, your business model, I'm thinking, is direct to dealer, right?
Yeah, it's definitely an integrator and consultant channel model at this point in time. Yeah.
Okay. And are you sticking to one side or the other, resi versus commercial, or is this kind of a little bit of everything? I know you're at Infocom, but.
Yeah. Well, that's the neat part about it, is that since we are really operating as a platform, and that's, you know, like I mentioned, our other company, Adalight, that's a CSP and also does Control NV consulting, but Control NV as a business does not do any direct project consulting. So that's where we have a network of what we call trusted consultants. And there are people that we have personally vetted, effectively personally worked with, and probably for some amount of time, that when we have a project, and you know, most of which are brought to us through, you know, our integrators and consultants already, you know, is where a lot of that's generating from. And those are the people that have been, you know, our prime candidates as the trusted consultants, you know, from the beginning of the platform. But that's essentially how that works. So if we had a project, that, you know, we were looking at directly and saying, all right, how do we take the next steps for this customer? That next step would be, depending on exactly their needs and their desires, you know, as we had assessed, we'd put them with someone who we knew could take the project through the finish line, okay, in whatever ways that demanded. So, and you know, the more complex a project you get into, of course, you know, that's a bigger conversation to have. We're doing some residential projects right now that were a very, very good fit for the Control NV engine. And, you know, the people who were doing the projects knew that and, you know, wanted to take that forward. And so, you know, we saw a lot of interest at Cedia, and I knew that at Infocom, we would be speaking the same language as a lot of people, not only from our integration and consulting background, but just at the level of technology, you know, talking about virtual machines and, you know, that the IP world. I wasn't exactly sure, you know, what kind of response we were going to get at Cedia, trying to explain the nature of, you know, a pure software platform, or if that type of thing was actually even interesting to the market. And I think what we confirmed or affirmed for ourselves was it's definitely interesting, and it's the same messages of, well, we want to be delivering better experiences for our customers. We want to support them better, and you know, we want to know more about our systems so that we're not only able to, you know, better provide service, but also so we understand more about what our customers are using, and you know, the kinds of solutions that are working. And you know, like anyone else, we want it to look cool and work cool. And so for any other question, you know, people were drawn to it on that basis alone of, hey, if this is a good experience for my customers, I'm willing to, you know, let's hear about how we get it going. You know, so we're in the process right now of trying to release essentially our configuration tool. And that's something I think by the middle of October, you'll be able to get a pretty good sense of directly on our website. And that's going to be the part where the community can really start to get involved, and also where a residential integrator, for example, could much better wrap their hands around, all right, how would I potentially deploy this, you know, in a project that seemed like it was good for it. At the commercial level, most of the time, you know, these projects are projects that are going to scale, and where we've had, of course, the most interest and the most work that, you know, we've done through the company to date is usually in multi-location sites. So, you know, you get to that level of organization, and there's a fair amount of conversation, you know, around, you know, getting to what solution they actually want. But to the point of our dashboard and, you know, these other tools and the configuration engine, definitely our aim is to provide templates that have really good use cases for both commercial and residential. And from there, let consultants, you know, customize those experiences. But at the platform level, we can definitely handle both.
So let's talk a little bit about the templates, the way the software works in your trusted dealer network, right? So we don't need to talk money. I mean, that can be a conversation for the dealer that inquires later. What I would like to know is per case, per trusted user, is there a, what do you call, license fee, essentially, per project, right? And then if that is correct, is there a limitation? I mean, it's software, so it's basically capable of whatever the hardware it's living on.
Yeah, which including Crestron and AMX, and we've got a partnership we're working on with Global Cache to be for Control NV to be an option with their new Raspberry Pi based product.
Cool.
So Raspberry Pi and then even virtual machine hardware, but you start talking they're again probably more in the enterprise space where something like that would exist. But at a basic level of, if you had a system that was, a traditional control processor, and you said, well, I'd like the ability to use Control NV to deploy this system, and we'd like the Control NV app, I've got iPhone or an iPad or, Android stuff. And then, maybe we're going to use the remote controls, for example, that are native to whatever control platform we're talking about. And then we want the analytic dashboard behind it. And we'd like, remote access to be able to get into the site. At the Control NV level for us, that's really just activating one processor to the platform. And then the features built around that, like I say, the templates from a control app or dashboard perspective, depending on the type of project, if it's residential. And then from there, we really just look at the feature fit of, what exactly is in this project. Because if it exists in our configuration tool, like anything else, then it's going to be very well accounted for. And then the parts that don't are where we're going to need to look at either how do we get there together or what kind of programming, talent do you have in house, for these tools and, type of questions. But, the hope would be for most of, for the easiest method of that, it would be you're a one processor system that's going to activate to the Control NV cloud, and that's where the analytics and everything will come from. And on at the control point, that local processor will run Control NV, and that'll be able to control the points on the local at the local site.
This might be a dumb question or a brilliant question, but I'm often having both, one more than the other. Being that you're a software company and your UI, I think, is really brilliant, and that the coming from the integration side, mainly Resi, some commercial, but mainly Resi, and mainly more now seeing like every CDO more and more so of the IoT devices being launched in Innovation Alley, right? We see smart things, we see Nest blowing up, Google just announced another their own doorbell cam, competing with August and Smart Home, and all these people, LifeX, Philips, all these control color chains, DIY is what I call it, DIY. Home control for, someone who wants to kind of start small and eventually grow that don't necessarily communicate with each other.
Right.
But are more and more now. And I've seen integrators taking things like the Amazon Echo being put into Origin Acoustic speaker ring and put in the ceiling, right?
Yep.
Things like that. So integrators are embracing these things because their clients are putting these things in their homes and they want it, whether the integrator wants to do it or not, that's just kind of become a part of the quote unquote smart home. You as a software company, I'm curious to see if you are trying to partner or become a trusted partner with companies like Google to become works with Nest program and things like that. I can see Control NV being huge on the DIY side of the world that has IoT everywhere we go now, and being a simple app that connects all these devices within someone's home, from a small scale up to a full large project that's all based off of that type of IoT device, if you will. I could see that being huge for the company if it could work that way.
Yeah, that's a really interesting one. When we first started Control NV, it was our concept was this is an app as control system. Really simple. It was easy to explain. It's an app as control system, and it will be the app interface so that you don't have a processor at all, and you configure the app and it can connect to, here's your Nest pieces or, you know, a few other pieces. And we actually had pretty good success with that, you know, again, at the private beta level, with really, even at that point, really just at the private client level. And that was really when our development, you know, fully kicked off. And the interesting thing was, you know, going to Cedia, say, you know, in 2014, 2015, there were a lot of Apis control system plays. You know, some of them also had hubs. There were a couple of acquisitions and smart things. And like you said, so it was an interesting time. It was an interesting time for us still really being in R&D mode and, you know, trying to look at what was happening in the landscape of all of it and say, all right, but, you know, we're still committed to our vision somewhere, you know, but we want to make sure, because we've got a lot of different experience to offer. And what we at some level saw in the app as control game was a race to the bottom of, you know, how many apps can effectively be focused on, you know, wrapping control around a Nest thermostat, which Nest already had a pretty good app, you know. So it started to raise, like, there are a lot of people that naturally, like, being the app in the middle of that could make sense. You've seen a lot of change and you've seen ultimately also a lot of failure, you know, from that first wave of app as hub based systems.
Yeah.
And so that's been interesting, because it also, there was a lot of DIY excitement there of like, oh, we're going to get these hubs and, you know, trust these control companies. And then, you know, it's almost like a Kickstarter thing. It's like, it's hard to be too mad that, you know, wasted $140, you know, on something. At the same time, maybe it caused a lot of frustration or burned you out a little bit on, you know, where, IoT, I'm kind of just over it. Like, I don't want my things to be connected. And, you know, so you see a lot of that, but I think it's getting exciting again now, because, you know, there's so much capability. And I think we as an industry, I feel like people are looking around saying, wow, I mean, we're headed into 2018 almost, and it's still not even the norm that most of the systems we're enabling out there have a fair degree of cloud monitoring, you know, much less some, you know, analytics behind it, or, you know, what, so it's like, what are we, how is so much time passing so quickly, you know, and yet we've got these apps vying for control and everything, but like, what are we really getting out of it? So as we really took a step back and looked at our business and where our expertise and customer network was coming from, and started to imagine more of this end-to-end vision of, you know, we need a platform that fundamentally has all the data and also all the data models, you know, to then be able to truly scale all the way from these analytic dashboards to these different types of control apps. And to your point, software that could run in any number of places, including inside of a, you know, a piece of Google hardware, inside a piece of Nest hardware, and not only to the point where, you know, it was compatible with our system, but also to the point where it could expand itself, you know, through the same ecosystem. And I think that the open standards and the open source licensing model and everything behind that is what, to me, says, yes, we will be able to get those partnerships. We're already we've got a lot of good things going. And that was a big part of our presence at Cedia, was manufacturer work that we're doing with AV companies that we know very well. Our VP of manufacturer relations, Randy Massey's been, you know, a pioneer in the industry and in the industry for 30 years. So he knows a lot of these people. And is well known in the industry. And as it's been really interesting and to see, you know, as we've approached some of these great companies with what we're doing, and, you know, they see the dashboard and the analytics and the way that we're approaching it at the software level and say, wow, you know, we would love to work with you guys on not only helping us deliver firmware through the cloud to our products, you know, in a responsible way, but also getting these kind of analytics for our users and better understanding, you know, that. And so it's, I love the industry for that. You know, I love that the connections that we have, the network that we have, and I feel such a strength there. And then so it's, but at the same time, it's good to see and obvious to see at this point, you know, your Google and Apple and, you know, more and more pieces that, you know, my dream for it would be that everything became more open. and, you know, actually accomplish the goal of working better in the way that that customers want. Cause you know, there's a lot of, obviously there's a lot of market space there that a lot of companies would love to own the entire ecosystem. And I think that's what, you know, being pure software in an ecosystem like this for us is, hey, you know, we're all about partnerships and we're all about modifying our software so that it works in the right place.
I typically, this is where I ask where I, you know, what's next for the company, but I think we kind of just describe what I think the next evolution of a company is basically partnerships, keeping the company open, probably partnering on multiple pieces of our hardware, right? My guess, just a good idea, and it may or may not already happen. You don't need to say unless I'm correct, and then you can say if you'd like. partnering with like network companies, like the company like Domots, I think partnered with Luxel or Legrand's Luxel, right? So now you can get Domots inside of that, just like you're doing with Global Cache and other things, right? It would make sense to have those sort of analytics on a network level, right? Building managers need to see that kind of information. As cities become smart cities, that stuff needs to dial out to the world so they can pull that information per building. And for you as a software company, it makes sense to start, you know, partnering and reaching out to these hardware manufacturers and companies and larger companies to make that transition smoother, easier, and it could get, you know, and into greater detail. It would make a lot more sense for your company to start doing these things if you're not already. And it kind of sounds like that's where you're going.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that's really cool about that is being able to work with manufacturers, and it's a little bit different than typically what they've seen, you know, from the AV market. Hey, we're a control system, control platform, what have you. Usually to them would mean, all right, we're talking about working back to what I said earlier, in some way back to a proprietary language, you know, and that now we may need to contract another firm if we're either building a driver, or maybe, you know, at that level, we're probably not talking about building something into our hardware. But, you know, so to your point, when we are working in JavaScript already, you know, when that's what our platform is already built in, and their engineering departments have the same, you know, we're speaking the same language on that level. It makes that embedding process and even the vetting process, you know, behind what we're doing just that much easier, because it doesn't have to go through another layer.
Yeah. So not any more specific questions other than, actually let's go back to Cydia. You guys got some awards, right? Or one award rather?
Yeah, we won the Innovation and Technology Magazine Editor's Choice Award for Best Smart Home Device. And it was great. They'll do an article that hasn't been released yet. And but they, you know, they did announce it on their site and everything. And we've actually, you know, we've gotten some good buzz from that already.
It may be announced by the time you, the listener, hears this, because we're doing a little bit before the post date of the show. But congratulations on the award, except you're not a device. So I'm not saying that you don't deserve the award. I think it should just be specifically awarded a bit more catered to what we've been talking about this whole time. You're a software company, right? You're a solution, a software-based solution that I think, again, you know, definitely deserves an award, but it's not a device. I think that's something that people need to know. It's not necessary. It's not a device at all. It's an interface. It's a piece of software.
Yeah, exactly. It's, I actually had that conversation, and they loved that at INT, as a matter of fact. And I think where they'll end up taking, you know, the article is somewhere along those lines. But it almost spoke to, you know, we loved it because it became a talking point, you know, just having the award there at our booth at Cydia, that this is part of the change, you know, that you're really seeing in the industry, you know, for all of the talk about AV IT convergence. I'll say, I mean, there were some other really cool companies in the innovation alley that it just from their founders. And like you said, some of it, even in the, you know, smart lock space and things like that, it's like, there's great software behind this because, you know, there's this new generation effectively, you know, of coming to AV. And so it was almost like, yeah, this award, I'm sure the categories, they'll put a little thought into that, you know, for next year. Because it is the kind of thing, and it's fun to be a part of that, where it's like, oh, Yeah, we just, yeah, it makes sense. You know, the whole system could run in a virtual machine. It's not a device, but that's awesome. We haven't really seen stuff like that in the industry before. So it's fun to be a part of that change. And, you know, once we even had that award there, it's funny, you know, sometimes people, when they can see the polar opposite right in front of them, it became almost more obvious, like, oh yeah, they've got that word device on there. You know, of course, this is software. That makes sense. And it's like, oh, awesome.
So we know that you go to Infocom. We know that we could find you at Cedia. What about ISC and local shows?
So ISC, we're looking at right now. We were, you know, from where we launched and seeing how the summer went, we were a little late to the game on most of the ISC. So they were actually, they spoke with us at Cedia, and I know we'll be there in some way, whether or not, you know, we have a full display there, we're kind of working on. So there's a couple of different waiting lists, and we'd be definitely open to a space. At the same time, busy, you know, so it's coming through, you know, February will come up quick, but I think we'll I'm planning on being there at least. And a couple of the other companies, you know, that we're working with, you know, have already sort of, you know, expected our presence there. So I'm sure we'll be around, and whether or not we'll display, there's still a good amount of time, you know, between now and then. So I'm ultimately hoping that we can. In terms of shows for this year and things like that, I think we're pretty much wrapped up. No really, you know, of course, you know, by the time we hit October here, the year's going to wind out pretty quickly, but nothing else on the calendar there. You know, in terms of setting up, one of the things that we're thinking about for early next year is, because we've got a series of webinars that, you know, we're going to be doing that coming up, and just, you know, how do we connect with more people and where do we need to be? We were at the AVIT summit in Denver back in early August, and that was a great event, a great experience. And I think we're looking at that again for New York next year. That'll be later summer. And, obviously, like you said, Infocom. So we'll have to figure out the exact calendar. It's, you know, that's definitely one part of a change after being even with this, company behind the scenes, so to speak, for a few years. You definitely realize, how much time goes into, you know, just that entire side of even in a 10 by 10 booth, you know, putting a show together, takes a lot of energy. So, but I think the two this year were just awesome. And, you know, obviously both Infocom and Cedia very close to our heritage. I think next year we're going to be looking at least a couple of the building controls shows that are a little bit more in the facilities management type of space, and show what we're doing on that side.
Now, let's see. Okay, so since your the launch, what did you say, 10, 12 weeks ago? Mm-hmm. Something like that. We had a couple shows, and obviously you have some trusted, what do you call them, trusted partners?
Trusted consultants.
Trusted consultants. Yep. And since the launch, has that been received well? Are you kind of do you have a big request for to become a trusted consultant? How does that work?
Yeah, we've got a pretty good pipeline right now, and usually it's, you know, the way that it works in most cases is someone, well, there's really two. You know, some people have a project immediately in mind. And it becomes a, you know, let's get a branded demo put together, either, you know, for an organization or, you know, someone who's maybe working in the commercial space. On the residential side, we're sort of just starting to go through that. And I think that's one, you know, with Focom launch, we were very comfortable to, you know, and time moves quickly, but, you know, to take on the level of partners that we knew we could show them a deep dive into what some of the code was like, and it wasn't going to, you know, initially scare them off, you know, about what they were looking at. But where we've now moved with the configuration side, that's really opening up the kind of tools, you know, that to a much brighter, broader piece of the industry. So there's different levels of consulting. We basically have four, what we would consider disciplines, and what's different about the Control Envy program versus, say, what a lot of training in the industry that you'd be used to is, it's not we don't have like a 3-day class or, you know, a couple of different levels of, you know, that you go through and then you achieve being a trusted consultant. It's really more of an interview process and a determination, you know, with this potential partner. And that could be in system design. It could be in software development. It could be in graphic design, or it could be in the most recent discipline now that we've added that we realized was going to be important and was standalone was actually a data analysis. So someone who in a large deployment for an organization, for example, might specifically be involved at a role of saying, all right, here's all the data that we know we are collecting. Now, how do we actually extract this value into charts and get those charts built and, you know, get them deployed? So that person would focus really specifically in data points and aggregation and charting and reports and that type of thing. So, you know, there are a lot of different levels you can get involved that would apply anywhere from, you know, I'm more of what would a traditional consultant AV, you know, system design and consultant at that level, through the software disciplines to, you know, I'm a designer to I'm someone who wants to look at the bigger picture of how this all goes together to create value, you know, for an end user. Anyone in that spectrum could qualify as a trusted consultant. So at that point, then it's, if you're bringing a project to us, you know, that's one path. And if you're then saying, hey, I'm someone with these skill sets, I'd love it if you could bring a project to me. That's a little bit of a different placement, but you know, we're open to either one and need both. So.
Cool. Is there anything else about the company that we haven't really talked about that Control Envy can do?
Well, you know, I think in terms of what it can do, that part is where we really look at the platform as application enablement. And, you know, in the same way that, the UIs and the control and the dashboard side and everything we're putting together as templates, we also, you know, are working on the kind of canvas that's the same stuff that video games are designed in. And so I think, you know, people really, they love seeing that interactive floor plan at Cedia, because just at a, and it didn't take our designers, honestly, probably 10 minutes to put that transition effect together, because it was something, you know, somewhat already existed in these front end libraries. And, you know, they knew how to tie it together with the work that had been created. So there's all kinds of applications that we can imagine, more and more devices, you know, that run all this type of technology. And if to talk about a horizon goal, or a horizon, you know, problem at that we see at Control Envy is how do we start taking this same type of technology, you know, touch panels and interface and all of this, you know, analytics and smart connectivity and putting it into cars. Because, you know, if there's, especially now in the landscape of the electronic DUI states and, you know, all of this change we're having about phones not, you know, obviously being a good factor in cars, be that a texting perspective or everything else. But then, you know, from all of these different companies that every control system is different. So now you can start to make the argument that if I am one of these high-end estate home owners and, you know, we have a BMW, a Mercedes and a Porsche, we are less safe. The fact that all three of these systems are different and integrate with our phones differently, and even at a basic level of, you know, trying to use GPS and, you know, and trying to, you know, effectively use these systems and not being distracted by them, it would be great if they could all be the same UI, you know, and it'd be great if they could bring our preferences from our phones into the cars. And now you start taking the same types of conversations you can have at the enterprise smart building level. And you start taking it, you know, all the way out of the front door and, you know, into the seat of the car you're driving home. And I think that's the horizon aspect that makes quote unquote IoT, you know, so huge. And you know, that's just the roots. And, you know, so to your point, you know, what can the product do? It's really poised for any type of user experience in any type of connected system that needs to go back and, you know, analyze or take profiles from, you know, from the user and other places. So I think there's so many places that it can go. And our commitment, you know, is to keep it pure software and, you know, let that be the vehicle by which we can go so many places.
Well, I think that is a very, very good in-depth conversation about control envy. So for anyone out there listening who would like to become or learn more about how to become a trusted partner, right? That's what's called trusted partners?
Trusted consultant, but...
Trusted consultant, sorry.
I consider the change, though.
Trusted consultant, I would say just start by going over to controlenvy.com. Take a look around, take a look and see what they have to offer. There's some info there. I'm sure you can reach out and you can kind of look, see the different looks of the UI. There's some pricing models, et cetera. But Wes, for people that want to contact direct, who have already seen the product, they've been to the show, they want to call you up. They want to email. What's the best way to reach out?
Yeah. Well, email me directly, just wes@controlin.com. And, you will definitely get in touch with me there. And, you know, like you say, otherwise a lot of stuff on the website. So,
okay, cool. Wes@controlnv.com. There's contact info there, I believe. And normally I would mention all the social network sites that the company has, but I believe since guys are sort of still getting there, that wasn't the focus. You're not quite there yet, but soon there should be some info. I don't know which sites yet, but I think just Googling Control Envy will probably get you in the right direction. And Wes, as the company grows and you are baked into more hardware, because that's how I see your software coming in big and kind of distributing larger, and as the codes for cities get stronger, like in California 2020 net zero energy, and requiring your software specifically, I could see you being everywhere, basically, right? Everywhere. So before 2020, I'd love to have you back on the show and talk more about kind of where you've expanded to.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Are you going to be at ISC, actually?
I would love to. I don't know just yet. I'm hoping so, yes.
Cool. Well, we'll stay in touch. And it's, you know, really, I do appreciate you having me on. And yeah. I would love to, yeah, catch up on another time when we can, yeah, kind of talk about some of the track record since this show and then what we're getting into.
Yeah. So everyone listening, the website again, controlnv.com. You want to reach out to the company or Wes directly, it's wes@controlnv.com. And for anyone who wants to inquire about this show, AV Insider on the Rave Radio Network at ravepubs.com, you can email me, Johnny, johnny@ravepubs.com. You can Google my name or pretty much just at JMOTA, the number 3, JMOTA3, on basically any social network, except for Snapchat. That's some evil twin. Don't follow that guy. He's a jerk. It's AV Insider there. But anyway, thanks everyone. This has been AV Insider, and we'll definitely catch you on the next show streaming live.